So, it's the moment you've all been waiting for, another episode of Tom and Matt Attack.
Oh God, Tom, what's in store this week?
Lots of exciting stuff, Matthew.
I don't believe you, Tom Matt Attack. Yeah, starting again very negative. I apologise for that. How are you, Thomas?
Not very good now.
I'm sure you have many exciting things.
Did you hear how excited I was then?
You were very excited.
You keep doing this to me, Matthew, bringing me down.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's okay.
You better hear what I've got in store for you.
What have you got in store,
Tom? Board games this week.
Kick us off.
I think we're very good at this, don't you? We just get into it. We don't faff around.
There's no faffing.
Yeah, there's no pleasantries this week. There's not. Tom, how's your week been?
No, there isn't.
All right, then. Well.
Get to it, whipping boy.
I picked up some Famicom games.
Oh, really?
And a Scorpion 8 Famicom clone console.
A Famiclone?
A Famiclone.
Well, I guess you'd need one, really, because we haven't got a Famicom yet.
That's correct. And what a great name.
Yes.
The Scorpion 8.
Yes. Has it got a sting in the tail, though, Tom? That is the question.
Well, I hope not. I hope there's no nasty surprises to be found. It's shipped over to the UK, so when I go back for my summer holidays in the next week, I'll find out.
Nice.
What it's all about, I hope. They said they haven't shipped it yet, though, so I'm a bit
worried.
Concerned about that.
Okay.
Anywho, I got some games to go with that.
Paint us a picture of this Famiclone before you jump in. Many of the listeners will know.
It's a piece of plastic with a sticker on it. That's what it looks like. It's black.
Yes.
And it's oblong.
Well, it looks like a Famicom, but it's just...
In shape, yes, but it's all black. And it's got a sticker on the front saying Scorpion 8. And it's got its own controllers.
No luxurious dark red and gold.
No, I'm afraid not. I did read up a little bit on the console. Found out it is very cheap. It's as cheap as it looks.
Okay.
It's very light. It's very plasticky. It's
on a brighter note. I guess it can't be used as a murder weapon, which is always a plus.
True. True. It is not as dangerous as it makes itself out to be.
No, it is not.
But what matters is it enables me to play some import games, and some of these games I've wanted to play for some time, actually. Most notably, the first game on my list, Samurai Pizza Cats.
Ooh. Who made it? What kind of game is it?
It's a action platform game where you control all three of the cats.
Yes, I believe there are three.
And the cats all have different abilities.
Yeah.
So you have to use certain cats for certain segments.
I think there's a DVD of a Samurai Pizza Cats.
Yes,
now we're
yes there is.
Why don't we own this DVD?
I don't know.
Is it something we need to rectify after the podcast?
Perhaps, if I hadn't spent so much on the games and other
things that we'll talk about later. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, maybe I'll buy Samurai Pizza Cats.
So that looks great fun. I've actually played the game on emulator quite some time ago, and I liked it enough to want to own it.
Fair dues.
Labyrinth. I only recently found out there was a Labyrinth video game released.
Of course, with your love of Bowie, this was an essential part of your collection.
Also, my love of that movie in general.
That's true.
And I watched a video from Drew Wario on YouTube, and he sold it to me, basically, with his You Can Play This series. So that looks great. It looks difficult. But now I know what's going on in the game, thanks to the handy translation. I hope to have a lot of fun with that one.
Rest in peace, Chewario.
And I also picked up Takeshi no...
yeah, it's a Takeshi Kitano game that you told me about, and it sounds mental.
I heard about this game quite some time ago, being a fan of Takeshi Kitano, his movies, and his general quirky personality, and this game is made and designed by someone who doesn't like video games.
Which is always interesting.
Well, it was made by a studio in the direction of someone who doesn't like video games, Takeshi Kitano.
From what I read, it wasn't that he didn't like video games.
Well, I've heard that he probably doesn't,
but like the whole idea of this video game was that he wanted to make something different because he didn't like video games in general, and then he wanted what he would consider to be a good game to be made.
Mm. And what is this game all about, you may ask? It's a series of tasks that you have to perform, basically, aren't they? Arduous, frustrating tasks.
Yeah, there's a series of challenges, some of which were in a weird kind of like meta viral marketing campaign for the 80s, only hinted at via the Japanese adverts for this game. Like, there's a section where you have to whistle a tune into the second controller of the Famicom's mic in a karaoke bar to kind of sing the song.
And that's not going to work on my Scorpion 8, is it?
Should do. Apparently you can press the select button in time, I think, when the mic's not available. So don't stress.
But yes, it's a Japanese game, and I'm going to have to watch some videos to get to grips with that one, I think, and how long I'll manage to keep going.
Well, you know,
it's a sadistic challenge.
There is a point in the game where you get to put the controller down for an hour and not touch it. So, I mean, if you get bored, you can always just leave it for an hour and come back. I don't think it's going to affect your score at the end.
Well, there we go. It will certainly be a curious game to sample. And lastly, I picked up a copy of Star Wars for the Famicom.
Yes! I've wanted to play this game for ages. That too has a Scorpion.
Yeah, kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yes. Is that what you thought when you bought your Scorpion 8? You were like, yeah.
Also, I like the fact that the cartridge is shiny and gold.
I wanted to buy
Is it silver or gold?
It's silver, I believe. Yeah. I wanted to buy this cart, right, a while back from a shop that shall remain nameless in the UK.
Right.
A bricks and mortar store. And they were trying to convince me that it was ridiculously rare and very hard to find and very valuable.
Yeah.
And I went home and I looked on eBay and I was just kind of like, well, you're full of crap.
It's not really.
How much did you pay for it?
It was just under a tenner.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
With postage.
Yeah, well, admittedly, they were trying to sell me a Famicom disc system as well.
Yeah.
And just going like, they had the special edition Famicom, the later one by another company, I can't remember who it is, that it combined the disc system and the Famicom, and they were trying to bundle it in with that, going like, well, this is worth it, especially because of this. But they didn't have any disc system games, so I wasn't really that interested. That and it wasn't the iconic Famicom that I wanted. So,
no.
It's a bit of a shame.
I've seen videos of this game, and it looks weird.
It looks mental.
So,
actually, there is a second... there is a Star Wars game on the Game Boy, which features similar cover art.
Okay.
I actually just think it is the original Star Wars game, you know, the Super Star Wars series, etc., that's on...
It's not the Game Boy Star Wars.
Well, there's a Game Boy Star Wars, but it's got two cover arts, I think. One of them's published by Ubisoft, one of them's published by Capcom.
This is Namco, isn't it? The Famicom Star Wars game.
It is. So I'm very intrigued to see if the Game Boy ones are actually different games or if they are the same. I couldn't find it out on a brief online search.
I'm sure if anyone will discover that, you will, Matthew.
Yeah, well, you know, I am the Game Boy, Tom. It's what I will do.
Indeed you are.
And now you are the Famitom. Ha ha ha.
Well,
ha,
we have
ha.
Joked about this. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah,
Perhaps I'll find a love for the Famicom.
I think you should. I mean, it's got beautiful cartridges.
Yeah, it's got beautiful cartridges. I'm just thinking about what games I'd really like to get for it. There's the Splatterhouse game, and I did look at Mighty Final Fight, but I couldn't find a copy, and then I saw that you can get it on a Capcom Game Boy Advance compilation.
Really?
Yeah, it's okay, three games on it. You know Capcom did these Capcom Classics discs? They did Volume 1, Volume 2.
Yes, they did.
They did Reloaded for the PSP and another one as well.
Yeah.
With a similar title. But they also did one for Game Boy Advance called Capcom Mini Mix.
Okay.
Which features Mighty Final Fight, Strider, and something else. All NES versions of the games. Yeah.
But that's a decent card to pick up. I've been actually looking at...
Box $12.99 on eBay.
The Konami Game Boy collections. Have you seen these on the Game Boy Color?
Not on the Color. I have the Advance collection, Konami Advanced Collection, I think it's called.
There's ones on the Game Boy Color, essentially, that combine good games, like the Game Boy version of Parodius with something like Castlevania II, Belmont's Revenge.
Nice.
So you can get two very good games in cheap and in colour. They've upgraded them into colour copies, which is very nice.
Ooh, I mean, just slightly, I've been finding out about so many games I didn't know existed. I was on eBay just before the show and I was found a seller who had some curious games. I never heard of the game The Mask on the Super Nintendo.
There's a mask game?
A mask video game. I'm always one to try and track down video games of my favourite films.
Yeah.
They're not always great, but this one really caught my eye. It's a 2D platform game, but the animation on the mask himself, the character...
I actually think I remember this.
It's very smooth and very fast-paced.
You can use a machine gun, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember this. I think I played ROM. From what I remember, it's quite good, but very tough.
Yes, that's right. I heard it was very difficult. But yeah, I'm looking to maybe pick that up. I didn't know the Ren and Stimpy game on the NES...
No, a game, so Ren and Stimpy game on the Game Boy as well. Yeah. Two of them, in fact.
Yeah.
V-Idiots, and then there's one of them in space that I can't remember the name of.
Space Cadets or something like that, isn't
That's
it?
The boy.
But yeah, there were more games, more surprising games I never come across before. But also I noticed some games, again, that I picked up years ago and now skyrocketed in price. It's just funny to see.
Well, yeah, I've actually been... kind of signed up on a load of forums over the last 2 or 3 weeks and just kind of, this seems to be the topic all the time on there, on every forum I've gone on. It's just kind of like, oh, well, is this bubble going to burst of like retro gaming? Is it just all going to fade away kind of thing? Because while the prices of NES games have apparently, as you can see yourself, risen in the last couple of years, they've kind of stayed the same for the last 1 or 2 years now. They haven't really risen above these ridiculous prices they are now. Whereas the Super Nintendo games keep going up, and the growing theory is that people of our age are now out there earning a wage, whereas the people who owned NESs were a little bit older, so that hype's already happened.
Oh, okay.
Whereas now, the people who couldn't afford the NES games a couple of years ago moved on to the Super Nintendo because it's the next thing, and met with our generation who want to relive their childhood are now buying all of these games.
Yeah.
And then that's causing the market to surge.
Well, it makes sense.
It does. It does indeed. But it's a bit unfortunate, really. But, you know, if everyone's going on to these buy-it-now collections and buying everything off eBay, 2 or 3 years, they're not going to get the gratification out of actually collecting these games and playing these games, and they're just going to resell them anyways. So,
yeah, and as you can prove, if you do go to these flea markets or car boot sales, you find... some real bargains.
Oh, God damn.
You did this week, Matthew.
I did. Well, yesterday I went to one here in our town we live in called Weiler, and I didn't really find anything. It was a bit of a bust, to be honest. Like, if I was into vintage toys, especially things like Turtles and stuff, I would have had a field day. There were lots of really cool toys there, but as I'm going on vacation next week, and I've got a bit of a lucrative hookup when I go to Corfu.
I love this.
A friend of ours who we work with is Greek, and he rang a shop in Corfu for me because I said, like, look, I tried looking on the internet. There's no real resource for places where you can buy games. He said, no. He goes, usually they probably won't have websites because of the economy and stuff. So he said it'll all be bricks and mortar. So he said, unless you know Greek, you're not going to find them online. So he looked up one or two for me. Ha 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 ha. He looked up one or two for me and then he gave me a link and he said, like, hey, I've checked out one store. I rang them. He said, they do PS1 and PS2 games. He said, there's got loads of them in stock. But he said, however, they have a warehouse that's 5-10 minutes away. And he said, when you're there, he said, ring this guy who is in the warehouse and he will just bring you stuff. Apparently, they've got loads of old stuff. So I'm curious to see what the prices of things are. But yeah, could come up with some bargains. Hopefully we shall see if that happens. Also, I'm very aware that I actually just want to mong out on a beach, so I don't even know if I'll do that much retro.
Could you do a lot of game chasing?
I do a lot of game chasing, so I'm just kind of want to bake in the sun because the weather is rubbish.
This week's been no exception.
No, it hasn't. But back to the point. Yesterday, I looked around, and like I said, there were loads of toys. There were a lot of PS2 games, but nothing really caught my eye. There was one or two Wii games as well that I looked at, and I was like, well, that could be nice. Same with DS. But I don't really want to spend any money at the moment on games that aren't
Game Boy games,
because it's all I seem to buy. And whereas I have bought a few games recently going like, oh, well, I can flip that and then buy myself some Game Boy games. I'm sure someone would want that, even if for the price I paid for it. But No, lo and behold, I haven't really sold any of them yet. So I've just kind of got to the point that, well, until I've sold the crap I've got, I'm not going to buy any more stuff that I don't really want because it's just going to sit there and gather dust. So I bought a copy of Tekken 3 because I don't own a copy of Tekken 3 for 20 krona, and I picked up a copy of Harvest Moon Back to Nature because it's a very obscure title and it was a quid. So I'm hoping someone else who likes Harvest Moon, I already have a copy that I picked up a few weeks ago, couldn't get some joy out of it, so I'll try and sell that on or trade it with someone for something I want. Then, Thomas, today, then. I went to a flea market in a town further away, and while I was there, I was looking, and I went around the toy things, and I was like, well, you know, I've kind of been around this car boot sale once, there was still some stalls setting up, I've not really seen anything I wanted, I've paid the train fare. I saw a few things on a stand I wanted, so I rummaged through this box of a stand that looked quite interesting, of individually bagged and priced toys, which were very reasonable, and I got a vintage GT from the 80s, which is the most creepy thing in the world, and is now sat above my Mac where I edit this podcast and the videos. It does look crazy evil.
I had a look on it. I couldn't see any kind of mark on it.
Nope.
A year or a...
Nope, trademark. Probably fake. Don't care. Cost me like 8.5 krona.
Yeah,
so
the quality's good for a...
Well, I think it's a proper one. I think that all the maker's marks and stuff were on the hoodie that it should have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so...
Okay.
But, yeah, it was 8.5 krona, so it was like less than
if
a quid.
If only you could see this podcast, listeners.
I will...
Take a photo
I have. I've posted it on our Twitter. Look at our Twitter at TMAcast and you will see a photo of it. Then I got a G1 Piranacon, the chest piece of Piranacon, the most
Piranacon.
He's the most 80s garish transformer. He's made up of like bright cyans and magenta colours.
So what is a Piranacon? Does he transform into a piranha?
He's a gestalt. He's like a combiner, you know, like Devastator all these kind of, like, you buy six transformers and then you get a big robot that stands there and looks rubbish.
Will he transform himself individually?
Yeah. He is a regular. Oh no, not as a gestalt. He's just a big robot. Oh. Like the robot versions of him will have. They're all like sea creature based. Like Snaptrap, the one I bought today for 10 krona, is a turtle. Unfortunately, he didn't have his shell, which is the middle piece of Piranacon. But I've already got Piranacon anyway.
Piranacon's the big one.
Yes,
he's part of the big one.
He's the equivalent to Devastator, turtle. But this turtle is called Snaptrap. But he was 10 krona as well, which is quite a rare figure. I think I paid like 15 quid for mine originally. So I've rectified that now, and hopefully he can go... Well, actually, he's going to a good home. He's going to our friend Mark. So
good.
That's nice. But yeah, so I bought these toys, and I was like, well, I'll make one more round. I'll go round. And I look, and there's a... Game Boy DMG Play It Loud in the green colour, which I don't have, in a box of toys with some cuddly toys, which all seem to be marked 20 krona. I pick it out, look at it, turn it over. There's a copy of Wario Land inside, which is a bonus because I would have just bought the Game Boy regardless. And then I go turn to the girl and say how much. And she goes, 20 krona, which is exactly what I had in my hand. And I said, yeah, sure, give her the 20 krona. And then I looked at the stall next to that, and which I'd previously passed because there was nothing of interest there. It was mostly like cooking stuff and...
Rolling pins?
Yeah, pretty much that kind of thing. They were like salt cellars and things, and I just kind of like...
Was there a saucepan?
No, I don't think so. I think there was a hob, though. I think there was genuinely like a top of a cooker. But I looked, and there was a bag of a Danish supermarket called Netto on the floor that I hadn't really noticed before. And I don't know what it was about it. It was just the fact that it was just kind of there, sat in the middle, like not on any of the stalls around it, that kind of struck my eye. I walked over, and I as soon as I walked over, I saw Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Master System. Yeah. I thought, oh shit, a bag of Master System games. Ace.
With his cheeky little blue face peeking out at you.
It was. I picked the box up, and then lo and behold, underneath it, Master System 2. See another game, pulled that back, Marble Madness. I was like, oh, fuck. Master System 2. I'd seen one previously in this flea market last week, but the guy wanted something crazy for it. He wanted like 100 quid for like an absolutely destroyed one without the cartridge seal thing.
I can't understand it.
Well, the same guy was there this week, and I was hoping to get that copy of Double Dragon that he pulled from my grasp last week. But he didn't have anything there. He had a Commodore this week, though. He did have a Commodore 64.
You have one.
I do have one, which is why I didn't go anywhere near it. There were some nice box games with it, but I didn't even bother asking because he was a dick last week, so I just kind of walked past. But I saw some guy rummaging through it anyways. And so I asked the woman, I say, hey, how much is the Master System? She looks at me blankly. I pick up the bag and she goes, oh, 4 kroner. I said, excuse me? Because she said 40 kroner. I didn't believe that she said 40 kroner. I was like, did she just say 400 and just mumble it? And then the woman behind me goes, 40 kroner. I just went, okay. Reached in my pocket, 50 kroner note. Thank you very much, Master
System.
Did you think
she actually said 400?
I thought she said 400.
She could have said 400 and the person with her was like, nah, 40.
No, definitely not. Because right. I gave the woman who said it the money and she gave me 10 kroner back. Yeah, so 4 quid for a very good Nick Master System 2 with 3 games. Lo and behold, I got it home because Sonic 2 was in the cartridge slot and there was a spare copy of Wonder Boy in the Sonic 2 case.
Yeah.
Bang tidy.
And something I realised that I didn't know before was the Mega Drive pads work on the Master System.
They do. It didn't have a Master System pad. It just had a Mega Drive one.
Yeah. And I can't believe I never knew that. Although, did I? I can't remember. Anyway.
But yeah, I tried it now. I'll talk about the Master System in a little while.
Oh, when you talk about what you've been playing.
Yes, because I saw something, Tom, that I've never, ever seen in Denmark. And I haven't told you this, because I want to save it for the podcast.
I love it when Matt saves me stuff for the podcast.
I saw my first Danish reseller. I saw a guy going round, and I'd been there for like an hour and a half at this point. I was going for the train. And he was just buying everything. I mean, like...
Games.
Shit. Like, he was just, like, going to every stall and, like, buying absolutely everything. And I mean, like, you know, like, terrible, like, My Horse and Me and, like, these weird Danish children's cartoon games that are worth absolutely nothing.
You don't think he's buying them for himself?
No, of course not. He was just buying everything. And he was like, I saw him, I kind of followed him around for a bit. I wanted to take a picture of him, and I thought, oh, that's a bit unfair. He hasn't chipped me over, so I won't do that. But, like, I was just so interested. Because, like, I just saw him when I was looking, like, I made my last round after I'd grabbed everything. And I just saw him kind of like, I looked and I saw there was a load of DS games on this table that I hadn't seen and they were nothing really exciting. They were like Zuzu Hamsters and all this like they were kids' games.
And that was a popular game at one point.
He just went, woof, full hand in this box, pulled them all out, put them down on the counter. He's just like, how much? And the woman's like, oh, they're 10 each. Just paid, no questions, put them in a bag. I was like, oh, God, I've never seen anyone do stuff like this. So I followed him around a little bit, and, like, I saw him clear out 2 stalls of, like, PS3 games and stuff, paying, like, 50 kroner each. Yeah. But he's just buying everything. Like, not even trying to strike a bargain. He's just paying what people are asking for stuff. I've never seen that before. And then I saw him pay 50 kroner for a copy of GTA 3, and I was like, oh, you're a fucking moron, I'm leaving.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, but like, he was probably
he wants
like...
to make a profit on that.
Must be. Well, he was cleaning up everything, so like, I guess I'll see him on the website I use DBA quite soon and see all these games, and I'll just be like, oh, you're a tit, you're not going to sell those. But then again, I guess it's like that guy who was trying to sell a Game Boy with 5 games, none of which Trip World, for like 1,500 quid, which is something I've seen, which is the most mental thing ever. Anyway, have you bought anything else?
Yeah. I just won a copy of Johnny Bazooka Tone on the Saturn.
I have no idea what that is. Enlighten me.
It was a game I remember seeing in a Saturn brochure way back when the Saturn first came out.
Okay.
And it was one of those things that I thought looked pretty cool and thought, oh, I wouldn't mind getting that game. Of course, I never had a Saturn.
Yeah.
Until I got 1 year down the line. And so I was... totally forgotten about the game until I was reminded of it recently this last weekend, and so I searched for it on eBay and I found a reasonably priced copy and thought, well, let's put a bid in, let's see if I win it.
Yeah,
and I did.
How much?
It was £8. It wasn't dirt cheap, but it was by eBay standards, the other copies which were selling on there, it was good. And it comes with a soundtrack as well. They must have really prided themselves on the work they've done on the soundtrack, because they include a second CD.
Interesting.
For the soundtrack, which is peculiar, because a lot of these games, if you put them in a CD player, you can listen to the soundtrack anyway, like Vib Ribbon, for example.
Really?
Have I told you my Vib Ribbon story?
No.
I might have done.
I don't think so. Refresh me.
So I love the soundtrack on Vib Ribbon. It is famously a game which you can choose your own soundtrack by putting your own music, but it has its own, and by a Japanese band. I forget their name, but it was very cool. And so I wanted to know if I could get like a copy of the soundtrack for the game. And so I emailed Matsuya Masora, I think his name is, excuse me if I'm wrong, the director of the game, also director of Prepper Rapper. I emailed his office, and lo and behold, I got an email back signed by him.
Interesting.
And he says, yes, I'm glad you like our game, blah, blah, blah. If you put the CD into a CD player, skip the first track because it's the game.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the tracks.
Wow.
Are the music from the game. And I was, oh, thank you very much.
Top bloke. That's nice.
Yeah. So I usually that's how it goes, but yeah, not in this case, obviously.
No.
The game is a action platformer where you have a guitar, which is also a gun.
Oh, I think you've showed me this.
It's a purple guitar.
Yes.
And he collects musical notes and he shoots stuff like Metal Slug in that kind of fashion.
But with a guitar.
With a guitar. It looks nicely animated, nice design.
Slaying people with tasty licks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got that to look forward to when I go back to the UK.
Is there like a power-up where you do a guitar solo and wipe the screen clean?
I'm hoping so.
I hope to God there is.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Cool. Yeah, we should do a TMA attempt on that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I downloaded a few retro titles on the Big in Japan PlayStation sale.
Interesting.
You get these every so often. They do these sales of Japanese developed games on the PS3.
They do. I guess it's Sony giving back, right? It must be.
Yeah, and we've got... I picked up Mega Man 9 for £2 something. After my recent foray into Mega Man. This was more, I was curious to see what a Mega Man game developed now would be like. And it's very true to the roots of Mega Man.
But I feel they're a lot harder.
Yeah.
And I've been, I lend you my spare copy of it because it's not going anywhere. Mega Man, Dr. Willy's Revenge, or Wily if you're American, but it's blatantly Willy. Willy. It's such a good Mega Man game because
it is the game on the Game Boy.
It's the Game Boy game. Yeah. It's essentially the first four bosses are taken from Mega Man 1, then you go to Dr. Wily's castle and you fight through, and then there's another four bosses from Mega Man 2. I mistakenly said last week there are only four bosses, but I forgot that once you get to Wily's castle, there's another four. And then there's a boss exclusive to the Game Boy, and then there's a fight with Dr. Wily, which is nigh on impossible. I've been playing it this week and it's so hard. Fortunately, it's got a password system because otherwise I would have thrown my SP at the wall by now. It's really, really hard. But it's very, very good. Very, very rewarding. And it teaches you to play a Mega Man game properly.
Uh-huh.
It gives you that careful consideration and it makes you learn the levels. And because there's a password system, it's very user-friendly because it's just dots. You can just take a picture on your phone and then you remember that password and keep playing and keep playing and keep playing.
That's a good idea. I never thought about that. I was thinking about writing things down, but you could take a picture with your phone.
Well, it's got a grid system. It's a 4x4 grid. Pictures. So it's just little dots your grid. So it's easy to just snap
You have to draw an illustration.
Yeah. You'd have to do like a noughts and crosses board and then put dots in. So it's just quicker to snap them on your phone. I actually had somewhere in my mum's. I'm actually going to try and see if I can find it when I go back. Because my next door neighbour, Phil, had the first three Mega Man games, which I now own. And I have a book somewhere that's got like passcodes and stuff I used to write out to the back of official Nintendo magazines and stuff.
Hmm.
And in that book, I have the book especially, it was one of my brother's maths books, because it had square paper, because the first page is all Mega Man passwords. And I want to see if I've still got it, because that'd be cool.
That'd be fun.
I don't think I do, though. I think it might have gone, unfortunately.
I've still got a few things like that from my youth. I've got a storybook, a Sonic storybook that I wrote.
Yeah.
And that's a weird thing, because I get like letters backwards and things like that.
Really?
Yeah. And I can see where I started it and kind of finished it like years later.
Yeah.
Still a child, but I went back and finished off the story.
Oh my God, can we read that on a podcast? Can we do like a special Tom and Matt Attack Sonic story?
Root it out.
Amazing. Yes.
Yeah, as well as Mega Man 9, I picked up Revenge of Shinobi, the Mega Drive game, because I don't actually own that on anything. Oh, I do. It's part of a Mega Drive collection somewhere. I probably own it twice already.
I would have sold you mine.
I have it, yeah. Mega Drive collection, PS2, and the PSP equivalent. Anyway, I like to have games on my PS3 because it's my most used console, I have to say. Next to the Wii U now. Fatal Fury, I have the Mega Drive version. I have it on a compilation for the PS2. Yeah. But again, it's on the PS3. Handy. It's
Which
in
one
HD.
Is it?
The original.
Oh, okay.
Fatal Fury. We can only pick from three characters. Samurai Showdown as well.
Okay.
Again, the original. These are the Neo Geo versions of the games.
Cool.
Nice to have on the PS3. But as we discovered recently, you were aware of the RetroCon 5, whatever it's called.
What's it called? God, I can't remember the name of it now you said that.
Retron
5.
Retron 5. Which is an interesting piece of kit, which lets you...
My favourite band. The Retron 5. I love them. Do all the hits.
Let's you use your cartridges and plug them into this system that will let you plug in, was it like 10 different formats into it or something?
Yes, it is a lot of stuff.
So it's this console made specifically for this purpose, and it kind of downloads the ROM from the cartridge onto the console and play it on your TV.
It's pretty much any cartridge-based system, right? It's like all of the Nintendo portables used cartridges... the NES, the SNES, the N64.
Not the N64.
Master System, Mega Drive.
Yeah. But this intrigued me. I'd only heard about it the other week. And it made me think about how I've been rebuying things on the PS3, classic retro titles, because it's nice to be able to play them on the HDTV. Everything's very sharp. It's the same with buying stuff on the Wii U now, Wii U's Virtual Console. But this thing lets you use all your existing games. You don't have to rebuy them.
Does?
I looked into how much these things are.
Yeah?
Expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
How much?
At least 100.
Oh, that's not too bad, though.
150. I know, they were upwards of 100. Some were ridiculous. Someone wanted like 200, 300 for the thing.
But they haven't been released in the UK yet. I think that's what you need to bear in mind. If you buy it through them and not through eBay...
I couldn't find... anything on their website.
They have a website. It's currently out of stock. It's because they've been backdated with orders. Like, the ones that are on eBay for ridiculous amounts at the moment are people who got their pre-orders and are now selling the console on.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to bear in mind. Those would be inflated
prices. So it's not old. Like, my first impression of this situation was it's been out a few years, it's discontinued, you can't get it anymore.
No. It's just come out. Okay. That's why there is an influx of people like Pat the NES Punk and stuff reviewing it, because they've just got hold of it.
Okay.
It's been around for a while. Like, the idea of it's been around for like 2 or 3 years. I think it may have even been a Kickstarter originally. But they mentioned this thing and they brought it around and they said, yeah, it's going to have upscaling, 60 hertz and all this kind of stuff for retro things, and everything's going to look really crisp and really nice. And they had problems manufacturing it. It was delayed for ages. Mm. And now they've finally got around to shipping it to everyone in the last couple of months.
So just keep your eye out on that one.
Yeah, it'll be reissued, I'm sure. Someone who's keeping an eye on it will pop up on Twitter and say that it's out, and then I'll probably get one.
Because it appeals to me to just have... If you've got like a... Yeah, you've got a game room, perhaps. You've got all the original consoles set up in there. You've got your CRT TV, and that's that. But maybe in your front room, you've got the latest consoles and a HD telly. Wouldn't it be great to have something that inputs HD?
Yes.
Just one thing that'll play all your retro games on your big telly in the front room. That appeals to me as an idea.
Well, I like how he does it as well. The fact that it kind of rips the ROM from the cart and then uses that to emulate. Admittedly, when we were watching the Pat the NES Punk video, you were saying that the save doesn't then revert to the cart, which would be a bit annoying.
Yeah, because it was a feature that they promised. I thought it was a nice-to-have feature. Not particularly that important to me, I wouldn't say, as long as you kept playing it on the whatever it's called.
But does it save the save, though? That was my question.
That was my confusion. I thought it was saving the save back from the console to the cartridge, which was a problem, meaning the save is still stored on the console. At least if that save isn't stored, then you can use a save state.
Yes, you could. Yeah. But I don't know if you could... I wasn't sure if you could save those to it, because I don't think it's got any memory. I thought it was just while you were playing it, you could make save states and stuff.
Oh,
I'm unsure. I could be totally wrong on that. Yeah, please let us know.
But that's my pickups for last week.
Okay.
More than usual.
Yeah, you've picked up quite a lot.
I've been a big spender this week.
Yeah, you have. You also picked up a camera, so you get to see our ugly mugs in the future, ladies and gentlemen.
We spoke about it last week on the podcast. I don't know if we got any response.
No, we didn't.
That.
No, we didn't. None at all.
Nobody wants to see our faces.
None to our contest either. I'm tempted to just give it to our good friend Paul, because every week, even though the Paul Hay write a review, win a t-shirt thing is gone, he's still telling people to review it. Bless his little heart. He's still going like, yeah, you should listen to this podcast, review it. Yeah. Anytime there's a new episode out on Mondays. Yeah. So unless we get some entries by the end of the month, I'm defaulting the t-shirt to Paul. Let it be known. But yes, you've been a big spender.
Yes, we're gonna... what we're talking about. Yeah. Right. So, but despite all that, yes, I have bought a video camera. It's actually the same as Blast Processor Mike's video camera.
Yay, consistency.
Yeah, but I like the camera. I've used it before. It is broadcast quality. It wasn't cheap, but it was actually significantly cheaper than what Mike paid for his, so I felt quite happy about that.
And you used the spare money to buy video games.
That's right. You could put it that way. But there we are. So well, you may notice if you frequent Blast Process or Blast Process Facebook page that I posted a video from a few years back of my game room. What we want to do is do a similar video when I come back from the UK after summer, and we'll film our setup here, what we've got. Because it'd be cool.
I think so,
a nice video to show us to the world.
Yes.
A good one to start with.
I do need to get my Game Boy cabinet in place before then.
Yeah, we'll work at that. So we look forward to sharing with you where we play games and our collections here in Denmark.
Yep.
So it'll be
fun. Yeah.
Look out for that one.
So what have you been playing then, other than the games you've bought?
Yeah. You may remember last week's podcast, as we start the podcast, I was purchasing a copy of Final Fight 3 for Wii U's virtual console.
Yes, I do indeed.
I've been playing that all week, pretty much.
You have, every time I've seen you. And you've actually been playing it quite a lot on the gamepad, Tom.
Well, that's when you walk in front of the TV. Oh. Eyes down.
Yeah, eyes down. It's become a code word.
Yeah, it's a very cool game. It's not as classic as the original Final Fight. Its music isn't got the most variety. Its characters haven't got the most variety. But what's there is good. I'd say the game controls better than it has in previous versions, actually.
Looks very nice.
It
I
looks
would
very
say.
Nice visually as well, yeah. Lacking a little bit of the shine of the original, though, and the character of the original.
Yes.
But Guy animates very well, and he's got new moves. I only played as Guy, yeah, actually. You've got like a projectile
shuriken.
Shuriken.
Yeah, that's right.
Like shuriken.
Oh, you
hadouken.
Mean like Hadouken?
Hadouken.
Oh, I thought
not
you meant.
Shuriken.
I thought you meant like a ninja
throwing
star.
Even though he's
getting
a sort of
confused
a ninja
with Avenger Shinobi.
He's got the kind of Hadouken projectile attack, which you do by doing a quarter circle forward and then punch.
Nice.
You've also got a super meter, and I used to think I knew how to do the super. I thought it was just two quarter circles and punch, but I've tried that recently and it doesn't work.
Okay.
But that's cool. You've got a really powerful super move, which would help me if I remembered how to do it. Because
just look it up.
Yeah, I've got to. I'm stuck.
Aren't there manuals on the Wii U?
Yeah.
Why were you not bothered?
I didn't think about that.
Jesus.
At the time. I was just persisting and trying to beat this guy called Stray.
Yeah.
Who is an end-of-level boss character.
He led you astray.
He did. And he kind of reminds me of Frank from Pat the NES Punks videos.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of think, hey, this guy looks like Frank. And then I saw another guy, a big guy, with a little black goatee beard. He made me think of Jay from The Game Chasers. And I think it's purely because I've been watching a lot of these shows lately on YouTube that I'm
so
starting to associate characters in video games that look just a little bit like them.
Yeah.
It's a good game. Well worth picking up. New Super Mario Bros. Wii U, I've also been playing, picked up a few weeks ago as my free game for buying my copy of Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, good, isn't it?
Great challenge, really enjoyable. I finished Another World this weekend. I like it as a pick-up-and-play game for like half an hour. Get to the next save point and then play something else. A game which I haven't enjoyed so much has been Donkey Kong Country 2 for the Game Boy Advance.
I don't get it!
Because I'm on the second world, and I can't do the first stage of the second one.
I really don't get how we can't do it. Like, I've completed this game when I was a kid. Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with Dixie Kong's flying move, which we couldn't work out how to do the other day. It is quite simple to use B.
Yeah. No. I figured it out when I was playing it, and I still couldn't do it with that.
I can't do it with that either. I watched someone play it on YouTube, and they had no problem with... basically, you land on a crocodile who's meant to propel you up over this obstacle to get to the next platform. It worked for that guy. It doesn't work for me whenever I don't know if
same
I need
me.
To time the
I think it's just by the timing then, maybe.
At a certain point. But it's one of those instances in a game which is so frustrating...
Yeah,
that I put that down to bad design because it shouldn't ever frustrate you that much.
But this is the thing, man. Like, I can't remember it from my first playthrough. Like, I can't remember
that. You played it on the Super Nintendo.
I played it on the Super Nintendo.
This is a theory we need to go back and.
I do need to get it from the Super Nintendo to do that, but maybe I will.
We have it here.
Yeah, oh yeah, we got it on the Wii, haven't we?
On the Wii,
okay, we can try that. Yeah,
so we can try it. But that's infuriating.
That sucks.
And not unlike your problem with a particular Mass System game. You were sampling today.
Right. I'm going to piss a lot of people off right now. Because I might have bought a Master System for 40 kroner. I've been after one for a while. I know there are some good games on the Master System. I played some after I played these particular titles. I played a bit of Sonic Chaos, which is a very good game. Some very nice ideas that aren't frequented in other Sonic games, as we've talked about before. Very easy, but very fun. Very playable.
But it's fun. It's easy, but it's fun.
I've been playing a lot of Game Boy games, which have a lot more limitations. The Master System is a much more powerful system. But fuck me, are some of those games terrible. Like, games that I've heard people go like, oh my god, it's amazing, I love Alex Kidd in Miracle World. Oh my god, Wonder Boy is fantastic. No.
Okay, Alex Kidd is good.
You are blinded by nostalgia.
No,
I have not played
these. You just weren't very good at it.
It's just shit, that's why. The sprites are too big for you.
Oh no, they are.
They are. You jump and you punch and you die because the sprite's too fucking big and your arm's too short. You've played it for years. Like, half of the games I love are probably regarded as terrible. I love Power Blade. People probably think that game is dog shit. I love Power Blade. I like Trojan by Capcom, which I'm well aware is a terrible game. Like, I even like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game on the NES, which is regarded as an awful game. I've never had a Master System before. I never played one, pretty much. Like, I've played a bit of Alex Kidd in Miracle World with you on the Virtual Console, and I didn't really like it. And I played it back in the day on my mate Andrews.
Like,
but like, I just don't get the hype. I really don't.
It's a game that's hyped that much.
Honestly, I posted a picture this morning after I'd sat down and kind of said, like, ladies and gentlemen, I know I have other stuff to deal with, namely playing Alice Kidd. You should have seen the amount of retweets that got.
And I think that is because a lot of people play the game because it was inbuilt.
Yes.
And that is why it's, as you say about it, nostalgia.
Yes.
But these people probably played it a lot as well.
Yes.
And then got good at it.
Yes. I'm not.
You have to give it some more time.
I'm not writing Alex Kidd off. Alex Kidd, like, while I did play it, I kind of thought, oh, this isn't as great as everyone hyped it up to be. I'm not saying Alex Kidd is that bad a game as I am with Wonder Boy.
Did you like the music Alex Kidd for
you? Yeah, Alex Kidd's music was
okay. Not
actually,
as repetitive as Wonder Boy.
No, I actually really like the sprite design and stuff as well. I will give it that. It's a very nice looking game for the
Master
System.
Were you using the ring power?
I have no idea what the fuck that is. No.
Because you can pick a power up quite early on in the level by
I
breaking one of the
ring.
Blocks in the ring. You use that ring, you have to press pause and select it. And then that fires a projectile rather than you just having to get really close to the enemies to punch them.
But isn't there something that if you use that ring, then you can't get to the end level or isn't there?
No, it's just you've got to be careful because if you get the ring out of the first box you can get the ring out of, if you go for another one of those boxes later on the level, a ghost will come out and chase you and he'll kill you.
Ah, that's where the ghost killed me. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Right, yeah, no, I didn't do that. That's another thing I have a massive issue with. Why the fuck can't I press start the pause? Why am I going to get up and pause the game?
Well, there is technically no start button. It's button one is start as well as button one. So, yeah.
Is it just the limited... Why don't they just have another button on the controller?
Yeah.
Why
don't
they just do that?
Why not? I don't know.
Why don't they just be pressing both A, B and up pause?
Like, it's always been a chore for the Master System. But being the first console I ever had, it didn't seem odd to me at the time.
Yeah, well, I guess it's kind of... of its time, like people having to get up to change channels and stuff, you knew no different.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating because I was trying to figure out how to do a jump in Wonder Boy. And I figured out, apparently, hey, I needed a skateboard to do this particular jump on the second area. And lo and behold, I couldn't get the skateboard because I died once, which meant I lost the hammer projectile thing, which meant the egg only spawned the hammer. So I couldn't get the skateboard. So I had to continuously die and then redo the first level and eventually reset it.
Bad game design.
Terrible game design. Annoyingly as well, I died a couple of times in that game because platforms that should have been there didn't spawn.
This is interesting because I've played Wonder Boy, the arcade version of Wonder Boy.
Yes.
Okay. No problem.
I've heard the arcade version is far superior.
There you go.
Yeah.
But and I guess Adventure Island is superior as well, which is basically the same game.
Yeah, pretty much, from what I understand.
I don't know. I've never actually played Adventure Island, but from the looks of it, it's just the same.
Pretty much, same concept, at least.
It's pretty much the same game, just as the lead character has been replaced with Wonder Boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I haven't really played Adventure Island.
Mm. The first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, irritating soundtrack, bad game design.
Yeah.
Wonder Boy.
Yeah, Wonder Boy. I tried to play Sonic 2. Unfortunately, I couldn't get the car to work. I'm going to take it apart and clean it in the week and then see if I can get it to play. I know that's a good game. I would have been happy with that. But the first Wonder Boy just kind of frustrated me no end because I'd heard so many things good about that game. And admittedly, I think I'm confusing Wonder Boy with your praise for Wonder Boy in Monster Land.
Wonder Boy in Monster
which
Land.
I do want and which I'm going to buy.
Great.
However, Wonder Boy, meh. Not that fussed with. Is the port of Bubble Bobble any good as well?
I don't know. I assume it's got to be. It can't go wrong.
Listeners, please tell me if the port of Bubble Bobble is any good. From what I understand, it's an inferior version to the NES version, but I'm going to buy it because it's Bubble Bobble.
Yeah.
I love Bubble Bobble.
I actually played the version you have on your Xbox of Bubble Bobble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good, but it seemed a bit off to me.
It is, annoyingly. What you should have played is you should have used the Game Boy Advance player and got my copy of Bubble Bobble Old and New out of the box.
Oh, right.
Which is
one.
Yes, I do have it on Game Boy Advance.
And on the NES.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also have it on the PlayStation 1, but I haven't got it with me.
Mm,
I also nearly bought it for the Saturn because I haven't got my copy of the PS1 one yet. I love Bubble Bobble. It's one of my favourite games.
Bubble Bobble. Back to your Master System.
Back to my Master System. I played a bit of Clax, which you might remember I picked up last week. Oh, it's Clax in fun, Tom. I actually
played it. Classic.
That's the word you were looking for.
You were reclaxing.
It pushed me to the Clax. Max. Oh. Clax. No. I caught the Clax. It wasn't good. I played a bit of it, actually. I bought the Master System game. We didn't have a Master System last week when I picked it up. I was just going to plan on flipping it because I hadn't seen it before. And
this term flipping it, I'm not actually sure.
Flipping
what
it is when you buy a game and then you sell it on.
Oh.
Yeah, that is flipping a game. It's, you know, like.
You've used this term a lot recently.
You turn it over.
I just thought I guessed.
I've never heard that term before.
Flip something.
Yeah, to flip something.
Yeah.
It means buying it and selling it on.
I guessed you were doing that.
Yeah.
Or trading it.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to trade because I hate dealing with cash when it comes to games. A game is only worth what someone is willing to pay for it,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't know that amount, and then you kind of can insult people accidentally by saying, like, oh, this much. But, yeah, won't get into that for another podcast. But I played Clax. I played it on a multi-cart I own, because there's also a Game Boy version of it, and I thought, oh, it's okay. It's not great, but it's not the worst puzzle game I've ever played. Played it on the Master System. I quite enjoyed it. It was quite nice with the soundtrack and the colours and stuff, though very difficult. I then put in Rampant just to check if it worked. And it did, but it's a real-time strategy game, so I have no interest, so I turned it off. I put in Super Space Invaders by Taito, which I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be good.
That one was a really cool intro.
Yeah, it was an amazing introduction sequence. One of the coolest introduction sequences I've ever seen. It's like a 1980s-style computer with all green text and like DOS, and it comes up and it kind of informs you that aliens have invaded and you're our only hope, blah, 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 blah.
At first, it just seems like it's like some error with the software.
It does,
it's
trying
to boot the software and it can't, and downloading from the ROM and all
It does all this stuff. And I was like, what is this? Is this some kind of test cart? What's going on? And then it did it, and I was like, oh, that's a really cool introduction. I'm actually going to film our introduction because I think it's badass. Fortunately, the game is just Space Invaders. A poorly ported Space Invaders as well, I might add. It wasn't that tight. Like, I played the Game Boy one this week, which I picked up, and that was a lot better.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a shame. I also played a bit of Marble Madness, which is good.
And that's got a good soundtrack.
It has. Mm. It's a very good game, actually. I was quite impressed by that.
Yeah, that I played that quite late on. A friend of mine gave me his copy of Marble Madness years down the line when he'd getting rid of his old games.
Yeah.
And that's when I discovered it. And yeah, great game.
It's a very good game. So yeah, I'm kind of not sold on the Master System as a system in general at the moment. So please, please, listeners, I know there are a lot of Sega fans out there. Please get back to us. Tell me what I should play.
I can recommend
some
games.
You can recommend some games. And I know you own them as well. So hopefully people will tell me stuff and then you can just bring them back, which will save me buying for it because I don't really want to buy for another system. But yeah,
Get R-Type. Good port of R-Type.
God, I'd love a port of R-Type.
It's fantastic on the Master System.
Okay, bring it back. I'll try that. But yeah, if you've got any recommendations, please tweet them at us at TMAcast or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomMattAttack and tell me there. What else have you been playing, Tom?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
No.
No?
No, sorry to disappoint you, Matthew.
Oh, Thomas.
Not a sausage.
Not a sausage. Not a slither. I guess we should probably end the podcast here then.
Oh, gosh. That was
a sad, sad note.
We've run out of things to talk about.
I have many things to talk about.
Do you do?
Yeah, but I'm not going to say them.
Oh, it's a tease, isn't he?
I am a tease.
Yeah, we hope you enjoy listening to our little podcast.
Our little podcast-a-thon.
The little podcast that could.
I think iPod.
There's been a few game releases this week, but...
oh, God, I played Valiant Hearts. Shit. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I think we didn't do this podcast earlier because you wanted to play it before...
yeah, I did.
We talked about it.
And it's a damn good
game.
And
I'd forgotten about that as well.
You've also played Valiant Hearts.
I'd forgotten because I played a demo of it, didn't I? I also played a demo of Putty Squad. But you Valiant did. Hearts is what we'll talk about.
Yes. Valiant Hearts, Ubisoft game, Play Arts Engine, etc., etc. We talked about it before.
UbiArts.
It's UbiArts, but it's Ubisoft, isn't it? Like, even though it's developed by UbiArts, published by Ubisoft. Ubisoft Montreal.
But yeah, but Play Arts, what was that? You said Play Arts. Yeah.
Play Arts Engine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the UbiArts Engine.
Is it the UbiArts Engine?
Yeah, it's UbiArts.
Anyways, doesn't matter. Good game. it follows...
It's got a lot of art.
Yeah, it's got a lot of art. And it... dubs itself an interactive graphic novel, and I think that's probably the best term you can describe it. There is a lot of, and you can tell, obviously, Ubisoft Montreal, a lot of French influence there. It's very inspired, I would say, in the background design and stuff, whereas the character design itself kind of reminds me a lot of like Flash games. It's very clean cut, obviously, because it's easy to animate. But a lot of the background designs and the detailing stuff kind of reminds me of like Franco-Belgian comics, like Tintin. Mm-hmm. It's got very intricately inked details and stuff, and it looks beautiful.
I feel that comic book essence seeping from its pores.
Definitely, and like every screen kind of feels like a panel, like, and it's got depth of feel to
charm.
It. Charm. Yeah, definite charm as well. Follows the story of five people intertwined in the Great War, i.e. World War One, and the German occupation of France.
Which in reality wasn't all that great.
No, it wasn't. And I think the game is very faithful in reenacting that. I would say the Germans are kind of stereotypically hammed up. It's kind of interesting to me how they kind of try and show this side of like war, of trying like gritty realism, and then the Germans all seem to be very over the top.
You've got the good German.
Yeah, I've got the good German who is... forced to leave home.
The lines
at the start of
the
game.
Between good and bad are blurred, aren't they?
Yeah, but there aren't. But they aren't.
They
like,
aren't.
They're very strictly like. Sometimes when you're playing in like, there's a bit where you're in a German prison and stuff, and there the Germans are kind of okay. But like before that, they're kind of seen as bumbling idiots. Like they kind of make them caricatures of like, oh, these are the bad guys. They do evil things.
I guess.
Which is kind of a bit. Ah, why would you do that? I guess you kind of have to, like.
It's a game with quite a cartoonish art style.
Yeah, but like it takes itself so seriously in other matters. Like the storytelling and stuff is very serious. As is, obviously, when you go around the game, there's loads of collectibles and the historic items. It gives you backgrounds on it. It tells you about like Gurkhas and this kind of stuff and like the forces of Britain and like how we drafted India in and all this kind of stuff. And it tells you a lot of historical facts that are very interesting, and it deals with it in a very poignant way. And then just kind of like this campy German, like, ho ho, we're evil. Yes, you must cook us Wiener Schnitzel. This thing just kind of feels at odds with it a bit for me. But it is a very nice game. It's very simplistic.
Was it challenging?
There's a lot of... It's a puzzle action game. Mm. And there are a lot
more
of...
more sedate challenge.
Yes, but there are some moments where, where you're running into gunfire and there's bombs falling and stuff.
That's very exciting, though.
It is. There's one sequence where you're in a car and you're having to, like, skirt back and forth the road because there's machine gun fire and, like, bombs falling and stuff. And it's really cool. Like, it's really handled very well.
Yeah, so there's some bits that are a bit arcadey and then there's a bit puzzly.
I think it's a good mix.
Yeah. I was charmed by the game from just playing the demo, and it was nice to be able to play a demo. I said this to Matt. It's great that on the Xbox you can still just download demos of nearly every title released, whereas it's very odd that Sony haven't done that on the PlayStation. If you go on the demo section, it's very small.
Yeah.
Now and again will they allow you to play a demo version of a game.
Yeah, which is a bit sad.
Which sells games, basically, doesn't it? You play a demo, you like it, you buy the game.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't play the game, you don't know if you want
to
buy it.
I would have bought Valiant Hearts eventually, but like after you played the demo, I was like, okay, I need to buy this game. Yeah. And that's why I did.
I'd be interested to see how the game sold on the Xbox store compared to the game sold on the PlayStation store.
This is true, yeah.
Do they sell more games on Xbox because you can sample them first?
I'm not sure.
Or not?
Interesting fact as well, Minecraft is now outsold on consoles, now outsold Minecraft on PC and Mac.
Yeah, you mentioned this earlier in the week. Yeah,
there are many copies on console getting bought.
Mm.
I guess probably because parents don't want their kids playing online on PC and stuff, and they can kind of police it a bit
now
better
it's
on
there,
the Xbox
you know,
360.
Now it's available to console owners, and there's a lot of kids that play consoles, not PC. So
this is true.
It's just another audience.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I was a bit shocked as well in the week to see that EA's new UFC game on the Xbox One, the demo available for that actually costs $5.
This isn't a sign of things to come.
Well, I don't think it can be right. Like, especially, it seems very backhanded and very stupid of them. Especially after, like, the Hardline announcement a couple of weeks ago. Like, yeah, better! Go play the beta test of this. It's amazing, yeah! And then, like, hey, £5 for a demo to play a UFC game.
I think they're pushing their luck. They're seeing if they can do it.
Well, they are. And
as a protest, don't buy it.
Yeah, please, for God's sake, if you own an Xbox One, which is probably one of our listeners, don't buy the UFC game demo on there because that's just going to create a clusterfuck in the future.
Yeah. If they think they can get away with it, then they will. So
yeah,
don't
that's
let
true.
Them. I like that. We're like a little resistance.
We are. Resistance is futile, except when we do it. Yeah. So I guess that brings us to the end.
A big thumbs up for Valiant Hearts, then. Do you recommend it?
I do. I think it's a very good game.
£12 well spent.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. I like the demo.
Yes, it's a very good game. I recommend you play my version of it on the PS4 when I'm away in the week, because I think you will very much enjoy
it. I see it as a game I can relax with a cup of tea.
You can.
With.
It doesn't tax you at all. Like, I'm not being frustrated by it.
Yeah, if it does tax you, it taxes you in a easy-to-manage way.
Yeah. Not in a frustrating way, not in a Mega Man way.
Oh, no, yeah.
More in a
Or a Donkey Kong Country 2 on Game Boy Advance sort of way.
Heaven forbid. Right, if you like the podcast, please let us know on the old Twitter, at TMAcast.
Cheeky rate to subscribe.
In iTunes. You can also find us in Stitcher or our website, tomandmattattack.com. Also on the website, blastprocess.com.
Which has some great features.
It does have some great features. Check out Old School Tom 2 years ago before he moved to Denmark in his games room. And you can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. I am going to plug it again. There is a contest going on. You can find the photo on our Twitter and I'll post it on our Facebook as well. It's a chance to win a t-shirt and a Game Boy with Tetris. I think you should get on it.
Or we'll give it to Paul.
Or I'm just going to give it to Paul. A t-shirt anyways. I know he's got a Game Boy. So, yeah. Until next week, guys. Stay classy and game on.
Game on.